My name is Matt James.
I was in chess club.
Our bachelor doesn't have pants on.
People invite me into their homes on Monday night.
I'm having constant conversations with my mom.
You got people who are cheering for you to find love. I don't want to piss off black people. I don't want to piss off white people. But I'm both of those. That's a lot.
Hi, people.
Hello.
Hi.
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 What's going on, Taylor?
Oh, you know, just a ton of stuff. And before we get into anything, just as a PSA, we're not going to be talking about any of the confusion that's been happening among Bachelor Nation because it's just, it's a lot. It's upsetting. And this is a fun show. We're talking about fun things. If you want to talk about it more, LMK. And that's really it about that.
Great.
Tonight
was a massacre.
There was a lot that happened tonight.
So everyone who was on the show, no longer on the show.
What drama?
There's no one left.
No.
And firing squad.
And, like, my problem is that we start with too many people to begin with.
They have not figured out the calculus for this yet. Like, it doesn't make sense that there's an episode where we'll go from, like, 24 people and have a rose ceremony and still have 22 people.
Right.
And now we end up with this show. We're six episodes in. We got 10 people left. And we got to get down to four.
Well, and not to mention, you brought in four extra people in the
five
extra people in the middle of this season. So,
and a sixth, I guess.
And a sixth, maybe, if this whole Heather thing is what it is.
Busy better get her little paw on that end of the road button because it's going to be a nasty one tonight.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
You better wake up.
Wake
you better
up.
Stop sleeping on this couch and wake up because you got to hit this button.
She won't do it. We're literally screaming. She hasn't even looked up.
I'm touching her right now. I'm yelling at her and she is not moving.
Her face is like shoved in between the small seam of where your leg is meeting the couch and the blanket that she's laying on.
Busy prefers...
I don't know if she can breathe.
She prefers 0 inches of personal space.
I just don't know. I really don't know if she can breathe.
It's adorable.
It's really going to be something when we go back to work, right?
she's going to be in trouble.
It's going to be something. So where we left off last week, Heather drove up in her minivan.
Well, clearly we left off at the end of a rose ceremony like we normally would, so we can start this week fresh. Wait.
Girl.
No, that's not right.
No, girl. Heather drove up in her minivan, as you know. Heather from Colton's season, her job title was Never Been Kissed. She drove up in her minivan. She quarantined for a period of time at the Nema Collin and then showed up at the rose ceremony.
She has some kind of big, scary-looking teeth.
Ah.
So maybe the Never Been Kissed thing is like a Venus flytrap type fear situation. I might kiss you, but you'll be the last. This will be the last time I ever see. Yeah.
You know, it's. She's a nice girl. She probably means well. She's just got a bit of a horse face, and sometimes it bees like that. You know.
It's not her fault.
Nope.
She's here late.
Nope. It's not her fault that she has a large mouth like Julie Roberts.
It's not her fault. She's walking into a room of 11 women, 10 women who are all more attractive than her.
It's also not
These
her
are
fault.
Not her fault.
It's not also not her fault that we could do a lineup between her, Seabiscuit, and Sarah Jessica Parker, and we couldn't tell them all apart.
I can't tell those people apart right now.
That's right. People?
People?
I named a horse.
Was there a horse in there?
Yes.
Was Julia Roberts in there?
No, actually.
Oh, should have been.
Well, she was referenced to the previous joke.
Anyway. Oh, that's right. See, yeah. The thing about my memory is that I don't remember what jokes I did last week. So.
Right.
So here we are. At the beginning of this week, Heather is still here. At the end of last week's episode, she had just cut off Piper to talk to Matt before the rose ceremony.
So just so that we are clear, Piper already had a rose from her one-on-one.
It was just a furthering the relationship conversation.
Right, it was an important conversation that they were in the middle of having about what? TBD. I don't know.
No one knows.
So Heather comes in. She doesn't introduce herself to the girls that are basically sitting waiting to talk to Matt.
She walks right past.
She smiles, kind of awkwardly, and walks right past them.
She smiles, or are her teeth just like that?
I don't know.
They're just too big to fit in her mouth.
Or is her mouth just open like
so
Anna's
just
mouth
out.
Is just open sometimes. So she walks by. All of the girls
sometimes is generous for Anna's mouth.
You know, I mean, we are thinking of Britney Spears, so sometimes is appropriate in this situation.
Okay.
Hashtag free Britney.
It's also open the other part of the time. Sometimes it's open. Other times it's also open.
Sometimes she runs and sometimes she hides. So Heather goes in to interrupt Piper and Matt. She decides that she is going to lay it all out on the table to say, Matt James, it is me. I am for you. So the story that is being told to us is that when everybody found out that Matt was going to be the Bachelor, Hannah Brown said to Heather, I know Matt really well, and I think you would be amazing to be on this show, to be his partner. You should go for it. Now.
Now. Do you believe that?
I believe that 60% of it was Hannah Brown, and 40% of it was, let me call the producer that I know and see if that would be a cool thing to do. And the producer that Heather knows brought it to the, I'll call it this, the daily stand-up that the producers have.
The tribunal council.
Yeah, the daily stand-up that
they
have. How
can we make this season more dramatic?
Yeah, the stand-up that they have where they say, okay, anybody got any storylines that we need to be talking about? And the producer said, I got a DM from Heather from Colton season Never Been Kissed. She wants to come. Should I tell her to come? And everybody said, please, tell her to come. And not just tell her to come, but tell her to get a minivan on her way out.
So this doesn't need an awful lot of conversation. Heather shows up. She talks to Matt for a second. Matt's like, I'm going to think about it. Heather goes back to the room full of women. So this is Heather in front of 10 women who have been here for a long time.
Correct.
And we already found out they don't do well when new women are introduced.
They do not.
And they have not changed. No. Not even a little bit.
And you would think that with some of the elimination of the women that, quote unquote, acted crazy last time, that they would
No, it turns out we just get new crazy ones.
Turns out that the people are just really turned up.
Everyone is so mean.
So they kind of really jumped on to Heather. Now, I will say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I will say this. Heather did not have a script prepared.
Oh, she's in trouble.
To come into a situation like this. Now, if you had any sort of wherewithal, foresight, emotional intelligence, social norms,
or even just an agile tongue, mouth, jaw setup that would let you work real fast.
Heather should have known that the second that she walked into that room, she needed to have a script.
She was going to get pounced on.
She needed to have a script that included, but was not limited to, an apology for disrupting the timeline at this late in the game. To introduce herself and where people might know her from.
They told me to show up on this day. It's not my fault.
Right. And then third, for her to say, I'm going to wait and see what Matt has to say. Again, I apologize. I don't want to disrupt anything that's going on here, but I felt like I had to follow my heart. And then fourth of all, she needed to sit down. The fact that she was standing up and the rest of the girls were in this comfortable, like, semicircle situation, like a tribunal, also created a power dynamic
that was very
ugly and weird. Now, who set that up, Adam?
The producer set that up.
Thank you,
The
Adam.
Producer set all this up. They set it up so that there could be no winners. Yep. Everyone was going to be losers all the way around.
Everybody
the new girls, they're upset. Heather, she's upset. Matt, he has no idea this is coming. You know who wins? The advertiser.
And, you know, the campaigns for bullying as well.
Right.
They win,
so
too.
This ended terribly. All the women basically yelled at her.
Yep.
No, I don't want to say all the women. That is not fair.
Some people kind of came at her a little bit harder.
Almost unanimously. With the exceptions that I could think of, I think, are Bree.
Yep.
Bree didn't say anything. And maybe Serena?
Serena started off some of the questioning.
Right.
She started
maybe
off
just
some of the
Bree then.
I think it was kind of just Bree. And now I want everybody to also be clear that there was some Franken editing going on while they were in the semicircle. They were cutting back to Heather and then adding in some other things that the girls were whispering to one another that they were talking about at a different time.
They were.
Let's not get it all twisted that, oh my God, the girls were actually being super nice. This is a television show.
But it was still mean.
It wasn't
great.
I didn't say it wasn't great.
You could say something to somebody's face or you could say something behind their back. It's still mean.
I don't love it, but the way that it was edited together makes it seem a little bit worse.
So this is what's happening. What blows my mind is that of the women who have been here for a long time, almost nobody goes, new girl, she's not going to catch me. Like, I know, I'm so sure, I'm confident in myself, confident in my relationship. She's not going to catch up. There's in one night, like, this is an hour before the rose ceremony. You know, it's about to happen. Nobody goes, yeah, it's fine. It's fine if she's here. She's not going to beat me.
Well, and the larger problem is that this experience, as we've clearly seen this season, probably more so than any other season, this whole thing breeds insecurity. Like, if you have any ounce of it, just like a little bit, that it will just make you entirely crazy.
That's just an unfortunate side effect of the show, right? It's totally not intentional.
No, there's no way they would set that up on purpose.
Just not, to videotape it for television.
It's not like they brought in five new women to create confusion.
Wait, did that happen this year?
Oh
man,
it was definitely. Three weeks ago.
So basically, that's it. Matt goes, let me think about it. While he's thinking about it, the girls go, Heather, you're terrible. Heather's like, I can't even talk or sit down or close my mouth.
And then she starts crying.
Yeah. And then Matt shows up again and goes, you know what? You should probably just leave.
Right.
And she does. And then everyone is happy again. And we all go into this rose ceremony.
Okay. So we go into the rose ceremony. And it's pretty clear at this point, since we know for a fact that we're going to get sort of two rose ceremonies in this episode so that we can get two hometowns next week.
They sort of tell us, hey, listen, this is the week before hometowns. And you look around and you go, but wait a minute.
There's 100 people
still here. There's still 10 people here. I don't even know this girl's name.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And they're like, yeah, no, we're going to get down to hometowns. And it's all anybody can talk about, and they're peppering it in everywhere. It's the eliminations are, like, it's going to get bloody.
So we get to the rose ceremony, and unceremoniously, we lose two people. So first, in this rose ceremony, we lose Serena C.
So, Serena C. The only girl, honestly, I could say, looking at the 10 people left, she was the only one who had a 0% chance to win.
I agree.
I feel like she was here because she was the quickest tongue. She was the first person to think of something really good to say about almost everything. Mm-hmm. And she's just a great narrator to have around.
Yeah.
So she's somebody that, like, the producers keep a person like this in the show beyond her actual level of competitiveness just to have her narrate the show for us.
Right.
And she has just run out of usefulness.
The only other thing that I will say about Serena is that she was sort of connected to that Mean Girl clique a little bit. Enough in the beginning, she was perpetuating that JV varsity sort of thing that MJ was going around saying. She also came at Katie last week and kind of I didn't love it. You know, stock on Serena C is down for me from what it was.
She was very similar to MJ, I think. She starts the season and you go, this is going to be somebody I want to be here.
Yeah.
And because you want her to be here because she can talk. And then she just talks too much. Yeah. And you're like, this didn't go how I thought. Yeah.
So, and then next up, we lost Chelsea. Now, I really thought this was a tough one.
This is the first real contender that we're losing.
Yeah, and Chelsea was the model from New York.
She was
800 feet tall. She was the one that always was really vocal about, like, I hate being on group dates, and Matt knows I hate being on group dates, but he always makes an effort to really make me feel special on group dates. And she was also the one that really opened up about her natural hair journey. And it's just, you know, Chelsea is one of those that's like, she's going to do well in Paradise. She's also another one who seems really, really cool.
Chelsea's cool, but she, like, you could just tell. You look around and you're kind of like, well, you know the girls he's into. He picks, you know, in Matt's rose ceremony,
we go into this, and
I said he's going to pick Rachel and Serena and Bree first three, and then after that it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And that's just what happens. So he goes in, he picks the same girls first. He picks, like, he gives us his power rankings every rose ceremony, and I don't know if they don't realize that or
nobody's saying it. I don't know why, because it all goes together. Okay, so that was it. And so now we're in the week before, we're in Hometowns Eve.
We're in Hometowns Eve, and I think Everyone senses that there's blood in the water. Like I don't mean to keep making these blood moon week jokes. Yeah. This is we're just going to lose people every 5 minutes the whole episode.
And as we talked about last week, you know, we were like, "Oh, are we on the precipice of moon week? Is it moon week?" Now that we've seen this episode, last week was moon week. This week is not. This week is like the come down. Everybody's a little bit calmer and people are just
there's too much tension this week. For anyone's body to be functioning correctly.
Yes. Everybody is definitely plugged up. There was more of a release, I think, last week. This week is more of a, we need some Pepto. We need some movement.
Opposite of a release. It's a stick up.
Girls need some Mylanta.
Right.
Yeah.
Some fiber.
Yes.
So roughage. To start the week of roughage.
Yes.
We have a one-on-one date. A second one-on-one date, first of the season, with Serena, no last initial because she is the only one left. Formerly Serena, the artist formerly known as Serena P. Currently just plain Serena.
So this is interesting. So the fact that Serena has her second one-on-one date this week.
Yeah.
All of the girls that are still here have had one-on-one dates except Abigail and Jesenia. So this plays a larger part as we get into the rest of the dates. Now, it is wild that Kit is still here. Let's talk about that for 2 seconds.
I was saying this to Taylor while we watched the show. I have watched the show for what now? Nine, ten seasons of The Bachelor.
Sure.
I have never been less attracted to any contestant than I am to Kit. And yet, she's still here.
She's still here. And still here to the effect that she has had a one-on-one date before Jesenia.
And she survived it. It wasn't like a massacre, like an easy way out elimination type date.
And he was super into it, which is also really crazy.
I feel like Matt and I generally line up on the same women. You know, like we keep saying we know who his top four are.
Right.
And they've been the same for a long time. And I'm... You know, I say my top four every week, and they're super lined up. There's a lot of women that are on the crossover there.
Yeah.
Except Kit. That's the blind spot.
It just doesn't make any sense. So, the one-on-one date with Serena is a tantric yoga date.
This is going to be great for her, obviously, because she's super... She has the body type that looks like I never do anything but yoga ever. She's like thin and lithe and wispy.
You know, you're using the word lithe. You know, that's one of my favorite
words to use. I stole
it from
you. Well, yeah. I live with you. You know, we end up stealing each other's vocabulary.
That dumb book that I was reading for a while, and they were using the word lupine often.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
Stupid.
Crazy. And then we watched a season with a girl who was wolfy, and I was like, hey, listen.
Lupine.
I like that.
I know you do. And then we had to fight about that.
So Serena obviously does yoga. She is flexible as f***. She's teeny tiny. You know, she looks great in her little yoga stuff. Very cute. I like Serena an awful lot.
I have something to say.
Why don't you say it?
She does not like Matt James.
I don't know if that's true.
Oh, Adam.
So here's the big rub on this date is that it's a tantric yoga date, which means you're very physical with each other, you know? And I don't think she was... Well, there's no I don't think. She was openly not into the PDA, the rubbing and grinding, you know, the... I wish there was a way to smack your hands together and then rub your fingers back and forth on...
Interesting like, choice.
Via audio on the podcast.
I see.
I mean, I could do it, and you and I could see it, but the listeners couldn't understand what that means.
I hear what you're saying, but I will counter by saying that there, out of the number of people that may have been in the room, I'm thinking Matt, Serena, the yoga instructor.
And a camera for national television.
And maybe two camera people. So, but now, again, this was her second one-on-one date. And in her first one-on-one date, remember they got in a hot tub together?
Yeah.
So when you say to me, and she says that she's not comfortable with that kind of PDA, I feel like that's a lie.
I feel like you just need to give this girl a break.
I'm not saying that. Listen,
she's perfect.
It's okay. Love Serena. It's okay that she doesn't like
this Matt. Girl is such a grown up, and you know, it is attractive to me that she is not like all the other bimbos on the show. Every contestant has the same personality all season, every season. You know, oh my God, Tantra Gilga. Oh my God, yay! She is a grown up. She's like, you know what? I don't know if I'm comfortable with this.
Now,
I'd like to go slower.
Now, I appreciate that whole
thing. I'm a person who drives the iceberg, too. I like the slower pace. You know, I like that. I appreciate that about her.
It's interesting that he also is, like, trying to prove himself to her. Like, it's very clear from their first one-on-one date and all of the interactions that they've had, she is very familiar with him in a way that she, like, jabs him, and it's very friendly. Like, she's always kind of like, she's always playing with him. Like, the turtle comment is always funny, and like the comment that she made about him playing karate, him doing karate, and
playing,
she said,
karate.
You know what I mean? I mean, it is, it's for play. Why do you know karate? Like, those kinds of instances are very friendly. And not very boyfriendly.
I don't know. I think if you're Matt, you gotta be tired of just having this just like faceless women show up and trip all over themselves to impress you. And
oh,
like,
I agree.
You know, people just going along with whatever is sort of what always happens on the show. And I think it makes her stand out and sort of complexifies her a little bit.
But she that also she doesn't like him.
I think she does.
She doesn't.
She does.
So
don't say that about my girlfriend Serena, Serena B.
But this is good for you, because if she doesn't like Matt, then she can like you.
I'm not available.
You keep saying that, and yet,
Serena, if you're listening to this, I'm available.
It's fine.
I'm available. You know how to get in touch with me.
It's fine. So.
You know how to get in touch with me, and it's not during a yoga session.
Yes. And so Serena, again, is very vocal about, I don't like the tantric yoga thing. And Matt's like, I'm so glad that you said that.
He adjusts on the fly. He's like, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
And I think that's not necessarily true for him. I think he's just trying to roll with it and impress her back, because he's not used to women who are challenging on this show.
I think he's trying to get her to like him, so he is overcompensating in the way that you say that he's like, you know, just he's like, oh my God, I'm so glad that you told me the truth, whereas I think he's more so saying, oh my God, I don't like it either. If you don't like it, then I don't like it. He's doing that.
Adam, listen,
I'm gonna break you.
Don't break me.
I'm gonna break you.
So at the end of the date, she still gets the rose. There's the one little hiccup where she was like, I didn't really want to do that. But she still gets the rose.
Right.
She looks real cute in her little yoga stuff.
She looks great.
And she's, you know, she is more intellectual than probably anybody left this season. And I think that scratches him in a certain way that nobody else really can offer.
Right.
So she gets the rose. This is never really in doubt. We knew she was going to get it. We knew she's been in his top, you know, whatever, shortlist for a long time. And, you know, everybody's happy.
The only other two things that I will say is, one, for hometowns, let's remember that her dad was not at all excited about her coming on the show.
I didn't remember that at all, so I'm glad you told me.
So her father, she said this on her first one-on-one date, I think, with Matt, or very early on, that her dad was pretty upset about her coming to be on the show, and that essentially she was breaking her, like, you know, career trajectory, timeline.
She's too good for this show.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not about her being too good or not. I'm just referencing.
She is too good for the show.
That is true.
Her dad's right.
We're just referencing that this could be a bone of contention next week. The other thing that I will say is that Matt will say this
a bone of contention.
A bone of contention when he speaks to. When her dad speaks to Matt.
I will prepare for the bone.
Thank you. It will be a wishbone.
You know what? That's a very adult direction you just took that in.
From a
turkey. I mean that in a mature way.
A turkey wishbone, not a duck. It's different.
Great.
Sizing is different.
Great.
Just so you know. The other thing that Matt likes to say a lot is that he really wants a woman that's real. a woman that is going to be honest with him and to, you know, be confident in who they are and be themselves. You know, I find it funny that he says things like this, and yet we continue to be, you know, steered in a direction where it seems like he's going to choose a woman who is not like that at all.
I will tell you why he says that. I'll tell you why. If you're listening, make sure you take notes right now. He says that on his dates with Serena because he likes her an awful lot, and he goes into his interstitials and sort of tries to backwards logic explain it. The thing is, he likes her. He can't explain why because it's all chemicals. So he just says that he's looking for exactly what she has.
And he says that about Michelle. He says that about Bree. He even says it about Kit at one point.
Well, that's a mistake.
So it seems but like he says it about Jessenia.
He says it, whatever. Those are things that are very, very hard to pin down about a person. And every guy says they want that, and then they just say whatever girl they're into at the time is those things. That's just the reality of it. Mm. That's the reality of it.
Anyway, up next is our group date.
Group date.
So this is interesting. The way that they have the group date structured, and it seems like the way that they've done it the last few times, is to just have it be an evening thing with no activity.
It's strange. It's really strange because it's sort of just a series of, how many women are here? Seven? Eight?
Six.
Six. Six. Okay.
Six on the group date. So on the group date is Michelle, Rachel, Bree, Kit, Abigail, and Piper.
So there's six women, and it's sort of just a series of six small one-on-ones.
Yes.
Like, everyone sits in a room, and then Matt goes, okay, Bree, let's go. Michelle, let's go. Piper, let's go.
Right.
And then the two of them step outside.
Right.
And then they just come back in, I don't know what, 20, 30 minutes or whatever after they talk.
Right.
And somebody else goes. And all the other women are just sitting around talking to each other about their anxiety the whole time.
Right.
And that's the date.
Right. So there's no, like, conversation about any activity that's happened during the day, no, like, anything. And I guess when you really think about it, when we would be able to travel, the daytime part of a date at this time, we would be somewhere unique where we could do a walk and talk for a group date. Or we could do some sort of...
The walk and talk is usually a one-on-one.
Like a walk and talk around the city. Remember when they went to Singapore that one time? And they
I don't remember.
I know you don't. Or like when they went to...
Why would I remember that?
Remember when they went to Ireland and then like the daytime part of the group date was like walking around the city and then they did the arm wrestling when they went to the pub and like... It would always be some kind of activity.
Taylor, every sentence you say that starts with remember when and then something else comes out, the answer is always no. It has never been yes.
Please.
We've been doing this show 17 seasons. I have never remembered anything.
Maybe just give me the benefit of
the
doubt.
I'm not going to start now. I trust you.
Maybe.
I know that you're telling me the truth.
Yeah.
I just don't, I'm just not appreciating it the same because I don't remember it.
So during group date, this was a chance for Matt to have like these final conversations with people so that they knew very clearly this is your chance and your opportunity to tell me anything that you want to tell me before I make the decision about who's going to go to hometown.
The next time we see each other is the rose ceremony where I pick the hometown winners. So if you have anything to say,
period.
Say it now. Get it out.
So we go through the list of women. You know, Michelle gets a little bit of airtime and is like, I really care about you. I'm falling in love with you. Piper gets a little bit of airtime.
Same thing.
Like,
fall in love with you.
Care about you. Fall in love with you. So there's a couple of people that I do want to highlight. First, Bree. Bree?
Absolutely.
We have not heard anything from Bree in weeks. Like, not a word.
No, she,
like, she hasn't said anything.
She jumped out to a great lead early, and she is the only person in the house who developed the confidence to just sort of let the other women destroy themselves and rest knowing that she's going to survive.
I mean, and that we know of. And now I think the more that I think about it, I understand why she was doing that, because she let us in a little bit talking about what she shared with Matt. So she tells Matt that, you know, I just want you to know that I'm really here and I'm all in for this. A couple of days ago, and I want to bring this up too, a couple of days ago, I had to quit my job so that I could be here. And I want you to know that I did that so that you know how...
Yeah, I picked you because I'm serious.
Yeah, how it's important this is to me. So she also mentions that, you know, because of my upbringing, my mom... Now, remember, do you remember?
Single mom,
and not just single mom. My mom was 13 when she had me. So the idea of me not only just being able to have the kind of job that I had, like what I considered to be my dream job, is like something that I never imagined could have happened. And I would argue that her position on the show also was a dream for her, which is why she didn't like get herself all wrapped up into the confusion of the show, because she was like, you guys, what you're doing, the confusion is not important, because I know stuff that's actually important. I know struggle, okay? So I'm not gonna get involved in the so that's how I see it. Adam,
what, Taylor?
Why was Brie able to quit her job a few days ago and not at the beginning of her time on the show?
I don't know.
What are your thoughts?
It's very strange to me. It's strange to me that she would have the means to quit her job. I was not aware that these women were allowed to use the internet or a phone. Correct. I thought they were totally shut off.
Correct.
Maybe there was an exception here, because this does seem like... If you're going to make an exception, this seems like the time to do it, right? Like, there clearly are exceptions, because we've had contestants leave for family members who were ill or whatever. And, like, you wouldn't know unless somebody called you on the phone, right? There has to be a way.
Right.
So...
But job stuff seems pretty low on the totem pole versus, like, my parents are sick.
I don't know. I mean, she works in San Francisco like us.
That's true. Big tech.
It is common that people just sort of quit jobs and go to... Like, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And maybe she's just like, you know what? I'm going to take a break from this and I'll go find something else when I get back. I don't know.
I think out of anybody, and I don't think Bree's going to win. She'll be here for a while. Obviously, she's going to hometowns. But... I think out of anybody, Brie is the one person that is most likely to probably go back to regular life. Out of everybody else.
Maybe. She does not seem like she's just here to be a part of the parade. You know?
No.
Like Kit does, or like whatever.
Well, I would argue Kit is already in the parade. That's a decent point. She's on the float.
So pretty big bombshell from Brie.
Pretty big bombshell. Next up is Abigail.
Next up is Abigail, who she's been struggling with this for a while. Yeah. She also has a bombshell. She's like, hey, you know, I got that first impression rose, and nothing has happened since then. Abigail is not somebody who is comfortable playing the percentages game.
Yeah.
Which is, she got destroyed by the percent. And it sucks. You know, when you appear as a contestant on the show, it is not like dating another person, mm-hmm. you know, in regular life. You barely see them ever. When you do see them, it's not just one-on-one cozy time, we'll snuggle up and talk. You know, there's rules around it, and it's limited. And she was never confident that he actually, you know, was noticing her.
Right.
You know, ever. She never really got comfortable with being just a small percent of somebody's time.
And then on top of that, she got the first impression rose. Like, how do you kind of come back from that? How do you think to yourself, okay, well, then I'm definitely somebody that he really, really likes. Then why haven't I gotten a one-on-one date? Serena P got 2 one-on-one dates, and I haven't gotten any.
Yeah, so this is something that I wanted to talk about. I told you a little bit about this when we were watching. Serena P got 2 one-on-one dates because Serena P is winning the show.
Serena P got 2 one-on-one dates because he is trying to get Serena P to like him,
okay,
and she doesn't.
The show, the way that this works, it is not... There are 8 women left. That doesn't mean it's an 8-way tie for first.
Right.
Matt clearly has favorites. He clearly has 4 women that he keeps picking above everybody else,
yep,
and everyone knows it.
Yep.
Serena is one of them. Abigail is not. You know, just because it's down to 8 women and you haven't gotten a one-on-one date doesn't mean you're going to get them.
Yeah.
Matt is not trying to be with you. He just has to have 8 women left, and there's four he wants, and the next four are just four second place people. I mean, yeah. I like Abigail. She's a great person, but how do you not understand this? It's not a tie. You're losing.
Yeah. So Abigail basically asked Matt, listen, I don't want you to string me along if it's not happening for you. Tell me the truth. Ellen, let me know, because I feel like you meeting my family is a really big deal. So Matt essentially says to her, you know...
Well, you said it.
Okay. So he said, essentially, you know, I got comfortable about how great our relationship was early on. Like, the feelings that I had for you were really strong, so I felt like I could, you know, come back to it at some point. And, you know, I got wrapped up in other people, and, you know, I like them basically more than I like you.
You know, overall, we've seen this, you know, you see this every year. The old, I'm not that into you speech.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't think this was a very good one.
No.
In terms of...
You're a little too honest.
You can see Matt's eyes just light up when she was like, you know, I'll just leave now if you're not into it. And Matt was just like...
Thank God.
Okay, so I don't have to do this later? Yeah. I can just get it out of the way now?
Yeah.
Great. You know, it's... At this point in the show, you're not winning. It's not because you're not a good person or a viable candidate. It's just that he has chemicals firing for other people and not you.
So I guess this is where we cue the end of the road music, right?
For Abigail, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to remember about her? What's the big news about Abigail?
I think Abigail was unbelievably sweet, kind, sort of a revelation in sort of this swirl of confusion. You know, you could always look to Abigail to have, you know, even when she wasn't feeling insecure about herself and about Matt, that you could find her with a relatively, like, good attitude, you know? And, you know, she was pretty positive. I think she's another one that's going to kill in Paradise.
I just don't think she sort of entirely understood the way that the show was going to work.
Yeah.
I think there are people every year who just, they show up and they think it's going to be like dating somebody in real life, where when it's going well, you can see them 4 or 5 nights a week,
yeah.
You know, and you spend hours and hours with each other and you're texting each other all day or whatever. It's not like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you winning this thing or making it to the end has maybe a 50% chance to do with who you are as a person and a 50% chance about how you play the game and how you adjust to only getting, you know, a single-digit percentage of somebody's time all the time. And she just, you know, she could not deal with that.
So the only other thing that I'll say is that with everything that has been going on across Bachelor Nation in terms of inclusion and all of just everything, I think there obviously has been some conversation about Katie being the new Bachelorette, but
I did not know that.
Oh, boy. Yeah. There has been a lot of conversation about Katie potentially being the new Bachelorette, but I think with, as an outcome of some of this, these things in true Bachelor fashion, they might pull another knee-jerk reaction, and it would be a better look for them to have Abigail be the Bachelorette versus Katie. But
how do you think she would do? I mean, she...
Abigail?
Yeah.
I think she'd be really good.
See, I don't know. If she really... I mean, her personality is not the problem. It's just playing the game was the problem with her on the contestant end.
But
do you think she would struggle with that? You know, if she felt like she couldn't make a connection with Matt only having, 5, 6, 7, 8% of his time, do you think she would be okay with a field of guys who are only getting 5, 6, 7? Do you think she would struggle to connect?
I don't know if connection might be her problem. I think decisiveness might be a problem for her. And I think, you know, worrying about how to split her time, because it seemed like that was the thing that she was really worried about with Matt, like getting validation, making sure that, you know, she was always
kind of on
his mind.
Yeah.
So I think that might actually be something that could work out in her favor if she ends up being the Bachelorette, too.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
We'll see.
But she's done being on this show.
Yep. So the next up was some time with Kit. You know, Kit's still here. She's still 21. And
boy, this was a very interesting conversation.
Okay, why don't you start, Adam?
So Kit's conversation was basically like, Kit goes, hey, listen, I just want you to know that if you pick me, you got to understand, I'm, You know, I'm a baby.
I'm 12 years old.
You need to wait for me to finish school. You need to wait for me to get a career. You need to sort of follow me around and be loyal to that. You need to wait 4 or 5 years before I'm ready to have a kid. You need to do this. You need to do this. Just so you know, if you pick me, you're on the hook for an awful lot of just waiting around. And I don't know. I was not impressed by this.
What do you mean? Why?
I don't know. She's not driving.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it was...
Well, I mean, I'm just not into Kit.
I think that's definitely part of it. Now, I am totally fine with her basically saying, I have plans for how I want my life to go. You know, finding a partner is part of that. And one of the big conversations that I think we needed to have and I wanted to make sure that we had was about where I want my life to go and to figure out how we can mash those two things together. Now,
it didn't seem like that to me.
Now, the other thing that I will say is that sometimes you have those conversations with people when you want them to break up with you.
Just baiting them into a breakup?
Right.
So,
because that is kind of what ended up happening. You
know, I didn't even think about that.
I know.
Because when two adults have this serious conversation, you sit down and you go, I want to go here with my life. Where do you want to go with your life? Could we do these things together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how could we find a way where both of us are really happy? That's how adults have the conversation. The way the kid had the conversation was, here's what I'm doing. Are you joining or not?
Yeah.
Like, your interest in your career, your life, is not a part of this conversation. Right. That is meaningless garbage.
And now, also,
are you going to hitch on to what I'm doing?
These are the words of a 21-year-old socialite who has been able to move very easily in any and all ways, manners, shapes, or form without any struggle, without any strife. So the idea that she would say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I want to travel, and then I'm going to do this. There's no barrier to entry for her. There is no, like, you know, oh, you know, I don't know how I'm going to be able to finish school and then travel because I've got to, you know, get a job for... There is none of that for her. That does not exist for her. So when she says, I'm going to finish school and then I'm going to travel, She's doing that. That's it. So... I think this was the, like, first conversation as an entry into
of two conversations
yeah. Where she's like, I can't do this because I know that this is not going to work out for either of us.
Oh, Kit.
But you know, I appreciate a little bit of foresight. She had it, he didn't. Because when she had that conversation with him, he was kind of like, oh yeah, okay. I think he was just going to wait to break it off with her at the rose ceremony, and she just didn't want to be embarrassed.
He's been waiting for it. Yeah. I think, whatever.
She's just too young. So, I mean, I think this is also the end of the road for Kit.
She doesn't leave in the middle of the conversation. She waits until after the group date and then shows up at his place and basically says, you know what? Like, I think I'm just going to go. And it's sort of like the Abigail conversation where Matt just kind of goes, thank God we get to do this now. I don't have to do it later. Yeah. I can just walk you out.
Yeah.
He was shockingly into Kit. I'm surprised she made it this far.
The only other thing that I'll say, too, is, you know, Kit is just so wealthy. She's one of those people that, like, she's so, like, she doesn't even look rich. That's how rich she is. She just looks extremely well put together. So
she looks like, what color is that hair?
It's icy blonde. It's an ice blonde. It's a platinum.
Ew.
Okay. So, the other thing that I'll mention is that, you know, when somebody's rich, when all of their basics are designer, she was wearing Gucci tights.
This our listeners will be surprised to figure this out, but I didn't notice that.
I know you didn't.
I didn't notice that right away. That is your eagle eye. 25 Delights exclusive Taylor Robinson content right there.
Like, you know somebody's rich when they're wearing, like, an Hermes undershirt.
Yeah, fancy underwear means you're rich.
Yes, because your basics are hundreds of dollars. Fantastic.
So, you know what? Kit's going to have a comfortable life.
She's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. You know, I'll give her a follow on Instagram. I don't mind
it. Oof. Sorry. Wow. Again.
So out of the group date, Rachel gets the group date rose.
So their conversation didn't really feel like it was going anywhere.
Nope.
Because
he talked to her first?
Rachel, no, kind of in the middle, but okay. Rachel has a little bit of anxiety about how far she's going to go in this show. And Matt basically says...
don't worry about
it. He's not allowed to say I love you, but he said what maybe is the most I love you, non-I love you anyone's ever said.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when you're not around, I'm still always thinking about you. Which is
not very much that.
Which is not materially different than I love you.
Which is very much that.
So he gives her the rose to sort of quell her anxiety, which doesn't work at all.
And doesn't make sense, because after he has been saying all over this episode that he wants a woman who's real and true and, you know, is confident in themselves.
But
and
you don't, here we are. You don't logic your way into a relationship. You just, you know, you get chemically pointed at somebody and then you can't unstick. That's just the way it works.
As the girls say, sometimes it bees like that.
You just can't help what you're into. And she does wear those glasses an awful lot now. Yeah. I've been a fan of that.
So they had a private concert with Allo Black, which was nice to see someone who is actually famous on this show.
A real life singer who already exists. Who's not launching his career on this.
Not some weird, like, you know, brother, sister, like, Children of the Corn singer-songwriter weird. This is actually someone who makes music.
So, we didn't talk about this earlier, but I want to reach back in time and bring it up.
Okay.
The prize for Serena getting the rose on her date was a little one-on-one ice skating, which I say every season,
you say every season,
is the best date because no one can do it.
No one's good at it.
You get to laugh at each other. It's a great excuse to just, like, hang on to each other for a little bit. You know, if you're any kind of athletic, you could stand up. You just can't move around. So, anyway, I want to appreciate that Serena got that date. And now we're just done with all this.
So our final one-on-one date is with Jesenia. So Jesenia hasn't had any one-on-one time with Matt at all.
No, she had the two-on-one, yeah. But she didn't even really have that. She just sort of got nominated to represent the house.
That was fake. That was fake. It was fake. I don't believe in that. So her date is, fondly, I guess I like to call it, Tokyo Drift.
It is, like Pittsburgh Drift, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was cute.
Now,
for you.
I was really excited about it. I said, oh my God, this would be such a fun date. I would love this immensely. Oh my gosh, let's do it. And then Adam says to me, you know, this doesn't seem like a fun date to me at all. You know, I don't like to drive fast. And then I rolled my eyes. And then I immediately remembered.
You didn't remember. I told you.
You did tell me and I forgot. And I apologized to Adam immediately. So, sorry, Adam. I forgot your thing with fast cars and accidents.
I don't like fast cars. I got in a really bad car accident, and I don't like fast cars. I like going the speed limit and driving predictably.
That is correct. And I drive most of the time, which I don't mind.
Also accurate. Yeah. But I'm an
excellent parallel parker.
Again, seconded.
Yeah.
She always finds a parking space because she could put the car wherever she needs to.
That's right.
I don't have a problem with parking. I just don't want to drive fast to get there.
you don't want to drive to get there at all.
So this is not a good date for me at all. It is a good date for Tony Angelo, who is allegedly a drift car driver. I guess they blew their budget on Allo Black.
He's like a host on Motor. He's a Motor Trend host.
Is he really?
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean,
this might surprise you. I take in 0%, 0 minutes, 0 words of the Motor Trend's content in a week.
I mean, you know, me as a watcher of the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Stop right there. Because I am also a watcher of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Well, it is about family. You know how sometimes we say things are about friendship. Fast and Furious isn't about friendship. It's about family.
It's true.
Different.
It's true.
It's different.
It's better than friendship.
It's bigger than friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Paul Walker, Man.
Not even the time to bring that up.
I'm sorry.
I don't know why you're going
to
bring that up right
now. You know, if you're talking about Fast and Furious, we can't ignore, you know, what we've lost as a result.
So the date is driving this race car around this, like, big parking lot with kind of these obstacles in it. Yesenia does it very well.
She's having the time of her life.
She gets in and she is like
whipping the thing around,
flooring the thing. She's doing these turns.
They're in this gorgeous red Dodge Charger. She's just hot.
She does very well at the driving part. Then it's Matt's turn, and Matt runs into everything. Maybe on purpose, maybe not on purpose. Matt, not nearly as good as driving, as good at driving as she is, for what that's worth.
Yeah. So they get to the evening portion of the date. I mean, this is pretty uneventful. You know, Yesenia is pretty clear that she's like, I'm here for you. I really care about you. And, you know, my family just has a lot of love to give. And, you know, I think they would love to meet you. And then he's like, well, too bad. I'm going to send you home.
Well, I don't really like you that much. Yep. So I guess we'll just see you later.
That's pretty much it. So,
so this is the end of the road for Yesenia.
Yeah. End of the road for Yesenia. You know, she looks great in royal blue.
Listen, if this girl, I was telling Taylor this too, if I met all of these women in person, all 30 of them from the season, 35, whatever, if I met them all in person, I'm guaranteed I would walk away and say, yo, Yesenia is the hottest one here. This is the one for me.
You would lose it.
Honestly. I like this girl a ton.
You would lose it.
I like this girl a ton. I think when she goes to paradise, she is going to
clean up.
I think she's going to pick whoever she wants, and if whoever she wants isn't there, she's going to say, get somebody else over here, and she's just going to dominate.
Oh my God, can you imagine her with Brendan?
Maybe. It's just going to be annoying. The guy's showing up like, yeah, I'm here for Yesenia, and then another guy shows up like, yeah, I'm here for Yesenia.
And then eventually MJ comes in, and then there's one guy who like likes MJ but also likes Yesenia. It's just going to happen inevitably.
She's going to dominate.
It's going to be great. So then we get to the rose
ceremony. She's
going to
be the Wilt Chamberlain of paradise.
Oh, ew.
Not that way. I mean, a basketball way.
You can't not say that. You can't say Wilt Chamberlain and not expect people to think the other thing.
I think the basketball thing.
I think the other thing.
She's going to go to paradise and get like 86 points and 43 rebounds and 12 assists.
And then also sleep with 100 people in one night.
Okay, you said that. Whoa. Your words.
His words.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Gross.
So poor Yesenia, but we really gotta eliminate people, and she was not in the top four. There was no way this date was ever gonna go well.
Yeah,
they showed us a teaser of the baggage handler coming and taking away her luggage like 10 minutes into the episode.
Before she even went on her date,
you knew it was going to end.
Which we didn't even see.
This is the last one-on-one date.
Anyway.
So she's out.
She's out.
So we have another rose ceremony, and we only need to eliminate one person. We're down to five, but we only have to eliminate one.
So there was little fanfare, and we ended up losing Piper. Piper didn't say a word on the way out. And
she was very broken up.
She was really upset, and I don't blame her. I think her relationship with Matt like really was hitting its apex right at this moment. And, like, they just went on the one-on-one date. He was all hugged up on her at the farm date. They were having great one-on-one conversations. And for him to let her go, I mean, obviously it's just that he liked other people more. But
yeah, there's nothing against Piper. Piper's fantastic. But look at the four people who were left and tell me who she should have beaten, right?
Yeah.
I think fifth place is a particularly tough one to finish in.
Yeah.
Because your family doesn't get to meet the guy. Your friends don't get to meet the guy. Like, you know, I think everybody probably thinks if I can just make it to hometowns, he'll meet my family, he'll see how great everybody is, and he'll have no choice but to pick me.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that.
Yeah.
So finishing the last place out of hometowns is just, it's just brutal. It's like, it's like training for the Olympics your entire life and finishing fourth. Like, well, you don't even get that medal. You just get the first place of the also-rans.
And it's the kind of thing where if you just had more time, where things could be totally different.
Maybe, but honestly, who of these four women do you think she's going to sneak in front of? I feel like the first four are pretty,
you know what?
Have been rock solid for a long time.
Honestly, and I know you don't want to hear it, probably Serena, because he would be like, I am tired of sitting around and waiting for you to like me back. And Serena's going to be like, cool, I don't, it's not me.
Listen, some guys kind of enjoy the chase, you know? Some guys don't like it when a woman just throws herself at you and they want to have an actual bond together. I'm sorry that Serena is a grown-up. I'm sorry. You know, I can't help it. I can't help what I'm into.
Exactly. Speaking of what you're into, it's time for power rankings, gang.
Let's do power rankings.
Yeah.
My number four is Michelle.
That's awfully low.
Well, I'm not as attracted to her as I am to the other three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
There's, by the way, if you're listening at home, there are only four women left. We will both have the same four women because there's only four people left in the whole show.
That's right.
My number four is Michelle.
My number four is Serena.
Oh, we are going to have very differing opinions on this.
I know. I mean, my big thing is, you know, he likes her, but I think at some point he's going to be like, I need more from you. I need the acknowledgement of our relationship. And she's going to be like, it's just not for me, boo.
You know, sometimes when people are really committed to things, they could wait, you know?
Why are you doing this?
Just saying.
My number three and your number three are the same.
It's Bree.
It's Bree.
I want Bree to come on our show so bad. I want her to come on our show. I wrote a note about this. I want her to come on our show and talk about the moment that Heather walked in the room.
Yes.
Because she didn't say anything that was either caught on camera or played in as part of the show tonight. And she was by far the coolest in there. And I would love some like insider perspective on what happened.
If anybody that we know, this is a very serious PSA.
This is an open invitation.
This is an open invitation. If there is anybody that knows Bree, that knows if she works at Facebook, at Google, at something. It seems weird, though, that if she would work at one of the big FANG companies, that they would let her go.
Maybe it wasn't entirely just that they let her go. Maybe she was just like, I'm looking for something else.
Maybe.
You don't know.
But like, and she said it was her dream job. So like, it just seems weird what we know of Google, what we know of Facebook, that you know, they wouldn't allow her to have this kind of long-term sabbatical. Anyway.
I don't know where it was, but
anyway, that's my theory. So Bree is, she's another one who's way too good for the show.
Yeah.
And she's super sophisticated, got it together. I think, you know, I don't want to be the trauma porn person, but like the fact that she's actually been through some stuff, I think gives her a way different perspective and level of confidence and perspective on the world that a lot of people just don't have.
Oh, where was this feeling when I had my car accident story a second ago? You were like, oh, you know what? We should actually put you through that trauma again.
It's just funny that you say that.
You forgot entirely about it.
My mind was just like somewhere else. But you know what?
That's like one of the only couple of things to know about me.
I see you for more than just your trauma.
I'm not buying this garbage. You can try all you want. You can try to make it up to me. It's not going to work.
Yeah, who's your number two?
My number two is Rachel.
Yeah.
She and Bree have a very similar tactic, and they have for quite a while, where they don't say a lot. But Rachel lately has kind of been cracking under the pressure of not really knowing that she's winning. Good news, Matt just told her this week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's that.
Still not enough. My number two is Michelle. I think he likes Michelle more than he lets on. And I think Michelle is higher on the rankings than we think. And I say this too, because seeing that end credit tonight,
that totally changed. Okay.
Right.
So you get this idea that like these four women, whatever, we know who they are. And
yeah.
We see this end credit where Michelle's like, hold on, if I'm going to do a toast for this to hometowns type thing, let me do some push-ups first.
Like, and Serena was saying that Michelle is the funniest person that I've ever met. And her saying that, and the person that we've seen on the show for the past four weeks.
No, that's not the same
they're
thing.
They're totally different people. And like,
no, Michelle is like goofy and funny.
Michelle is one of those girls that played high school and college basketball. She does not take herself seriously. She's basically a dude. She makes a ton of jokes all the time. Like, that changed my whole vibe on her. I love Michelle now.
Yeah, you see that. It's weird that it's in an end credit, but it does sort of totally change the way you think about her.
Totally.
And now we're never going to get to see her interact with the other women again. It's now she's just, you know, off on one-on-one time with Matt for...
And like so much so, like the girls were like crying, laughing. Bree spit out her champagne.
It was funny.
Matt was like on the floor. Like if that's like one instance of what she's been like, I want more of that. And
she didn't just say, hold on, let's take a break so I can do some push-ups. She just did the push-ups, too.
She went down, did the
push-ups. She was being serious.
Got herself back together, made another joke before the toast.
And she, like, flexed at it.
And she flexed at it.
Let's drink this, you know, here we go, to hometowns. And she's, like, curling her arm in.
I mean, fantastic. Michelle's great. So she's my number two.
My number one is Serena.
Oh, you fool.
I think this is a complete person.
You're right.
What is there? I mean, she is sophisticated. She is complex. You know, this is the kind of actual human person that I would be very into.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Physically, still Jessenia, probably, in real life.
But total package.
Serena has everything.
Yeah. This girl has everything.
This girl, Serena P, has everything. She's Canadian.
She's Canadian. She's small. She does tantric yoga, but she doesn't like
it. She has straight hair. She has curly hair. She has bows. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Same date.
My number one is Rachel, for obvious reasons.
He is picking her.
He is going to pick her.
There's no way she doesn't win. Yep. It would be...
After the final rose is going to be something.
It would be shocking if she doesn't win.
Yep. So. Bold predictions for next week, for hometowns, for the families meeting Matt, for, you know, the people that are going to be there. It looks like it's a similar setup to Tayshia's, where it's two people, mom, dad, and then one sibling, if it applies. So it looks like Serena P, her sister comes. It looks like Bree and her little sister, her mom's baby, and... maybe her mom's fiance comes. You know, obviously Rachel's parents sibling come.
They made it seem like it was going to be extremely dramatic.
I think it's going to be very dramatic.
I think it's not.
Okay.
I think it's not.
Okay.
I just think that they do that because that's what the show does.
Oh, they definitely do. There's a lot of tears, a lot of like mom conversations.
There's always some dad who goes, you really think you could fall in love in 3 months or whatever?
Dad.
And in real life, this conversation happens sometimes. And then both of the people go, yeah, we do. And dad goes, okay. You know, but they don't act like that on the video to set it up.
Obviously. So it's going to be an interesting week. I think we're probably going to have some surprises of people that are leaving. Even Serena's sister says, you don't like him. So we'll see.
How do you think she feels about like Italian guys who are maybe...
I think she'd probably be super down.
Who are maybe already married and have definitely had a mustache this whole episode and we didn't even talk about it.
Drama!
Because it's for me and for nobody else. That's why.
Well, then I guess we don't need to talk about it.
That's right.
Unless if you heard it,
nope.
Then good for you.
We're good.
Okay. I guess we'll see you next week for the hometowns.
That's right. Wash your hands, wear a mask, free Britney, anything else?
No.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Bye!
You know, you're afraid of getting your heart broken
because it's a grind.
When that limo pulls up,
you have a lot of distractions. And when you're vulnerable, when you put yourself out there like that, the enjoy the process, there's not a lot of meaning in that stuff. And I'm looking for something meaningful.